I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke this morning, in chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, as we look for a moment here at the Scripture. Now, I didn't choose a Scripture in advance and after what has happened this week, but actually long before. And I cannot really believe how the Lord has worked through this, then, that we come to this Scripture. For Jesus here was approached, the Scripture says, were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices there in the temple. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Here ends then the reading of God's holy word for us today. Lord, speak through me, that I may speak. Amen. Time to turn is my title. My title chosen before the events of this week. The school shooting at the Church of the Annunciation in Minneapolis during the school's first mass, as you probably heard, killing 8-year-old Fletcher Merkel, 10-year-old Harper Moisky, and wounding 18 others, brings to our mind questions of almost the exact same nature as those who approached Jesus while he was teaching with the case of some Galileans, as they called them, like Jesus of Nazareth himself, Nazareth being in Galilee, who had been murdered by Pontius Pilate while sacrificing in the temple, worshiping in the temple as those children and others, their teachers with them, and maybe even parents with them in the mass that was celebrating for the school year beginning. So equally shocking to us today, as then are the disasters, the evil which we see in the world. In this case, Jesus mentions the collapse of a tower, a structure in Siloam. Siloam, which may be a part of the wall, the defensive wall of Jerusalem over there near the pool of Siloam, where others awaited seeking healing. Part of the defensive walls of Jerusalem, southern part of Jerusalem itself. Shocking murders, horrible natural disasters. or those caused by accident or intention of builders of structures. They all cause us to ask questions, don't they? Today, unlike in Jesus' day, people ask, where is God? As if God were somehow absent, had been maybe preoccupied when these evils occurred. In Jesus' day, no one doubted God was present. What they commonly said was just what those who came to Jesus did. Was it the victim's fault? Was God judging their sins? There's a particular similarity to the cases of those killed by Pilate with the school shooting victims. The people who came to Jesus didn't want to know how evil Pilate was. They already knew. What they wanted to know was if God was using Pilate as an instrument, if you will, of his judgment of their, the Galileans, sins. Were they greater sinners than all the others? And so maybe deserved what they got. Now Jesus is going to have none of that. Remember, Jesus has been teaching all before this, these questions posed by those who approached him, has been teaching all along before this about the coming of the kingdom of God. And he's been saying, get ready for it. Be prepared, for the rule of God is coming. The vindication of God is dawning, Jesus was saying. People expected that vindication to come by God using someone's sword in the manner and lineage of David to kick out the Romans and any other foreign oppressors. Maybe as Ukrainians today might say, to kick out the Russians or any of the many, many others today who are oppressed might yearn for. But in each case, the Galileans murdered by Pilate, and those killed by the collapse of the Tower of Siloam, Jesus says, and says to us precisely the same thing. Get ready. Repent now. Not at some future point when you feel like it, but right now, get ready. While you have the chance, get ready. Don't look at others' cases. Don't look for excuses, but get ready. Don't blame God for the evil that's been unleashed in this world. Above all things, don't blame God. God is not punishing those other people because they were so worse a lot than we are, than I am. No, because be assured, God's vindication is coming. And it's coming in the form of a cross. Elie Wiesel wrote about his own experiences in another part of the great line of human horrors, the Holocaust. Nazi Germany's plan to exterminate the Jews. In his little book, Night. Night. And at the discretion of the face of evil, don't you think? Night. You could easily see it in the Nazis' Holocaust. You can easily see it in the scribblings and musings of the lost soul of the shooter in Minneapolis. Night is the face of evil. And Jesus came to bring light into this darkness in which we live. The night of the world. The darkness, as the Gospel of John begins, that surrounds us. And moreover, is in us. I'll never forget reading about Mike Wallace, who in an interview with a Holocaust survivor began to weep. I don't know if many of you recall Mike Wallace, but he was, I forget what network he was with, but he was a great journalist of the past century. Began to weep as he interviewed this Holocaust survivor, and he was asked why he was weeping. And he said, because I recognize myself, the potential of myself to be just like those Germans who followed along because of the pressure. You know, mobs will follow along with evil. Night is the face of evil. And into this world of darkness, the light has come. Francois Mauriac, a contemporary of Wiesel's, a French novelist and himself a Nobel laureate, wrote the foreword to Wiesel's Night. And in his foreword, Mauriac focuses on Wiesel's struggle with faith. And in fact, his loss of faith and the face of the overwhelming suffering and evil that he had experienced. But as a devout Christian, Mauriac explains that he wanted to convey to Wiesel. In fact, he said, I wanted to shout out to Wiesel that his Christian understanding of faith finds its foundation in suffering, not despite of it, but in it. And that God's grace is still present in the face of evil, the face of horror. He says he wanted to cry out about the boy whose skull a Nazi guard had senselessly crushed. That the answer to the question, where is God in the face of such cruelty, evil, and suffering, is there is God. Hanging beside that boy, hanging upon the cross, yes, even the crucifix in the sanctuary of the Church of the Annunciation. Beside those children. And every suffering human being. There is God. Dying upon the cross. Suffering there for sin. The suffering. And the conquering. Of the evil of the world. Night is overcome by the light of the world who hung on the cross for it all, who hung for the darkness within us as well upon the cross for us all. The kingdom is coming, Jesus is here saying. Repent while you have time. For you too, we too, shall perish. So now, while we have time, repent. The vindication of God is there in the face of Jesus dying upon the tree. And what is more, the vindication of God is discovered in the empty tomb. The darkness is here in our world. But the light has overcome it. And thanks be to God. Amen. Father, let our hearts not worry, nor be sad. Let us not, as the Scripture says, be troubled. For there the Scripture says, I have come. I have come. Jesus says, Amen.